Okay, so we're holding an Igeres HaTshuva Perek Zayin. So I actually debated for a long time if we should finish Igeres HaTshuva or not. But I really think that Igeres HaTshuva is not just for Elul and Tishrei. I mean, Tshuva is something, I think there are some people here that might do a Averus during the year also. And in case that ever happens, it's kedai to finish Igeres HaTshuva to know how to deal with that rare situation of an Aver that might happen during the year. But in all seriousness, it's a very famous story of the Friedeker Rebbe and the Rebbe Ayatz, which is important to bear in mind. And that's a story that the day after Yom Kippur, the morning after Yom Kippur, the Rebbe Ayatz, the previous Lubavitcher Rebbe, Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak, the Ayatz, walked into his father, the Rebbe Rashab. Now you can imagine, you know how we all feel after Yom Kippur. You know, after Yom Kippur, like you feel like, you know, you're squeaky clean, you got it made in the shade, it's in the bag, everything's good. So he walked into his father the day after Yom Kippur, and he says, Tata vositzter. Now what? And after an avodah Yom Kippur, what's there to do now? It's vositzter. So Rebbe Rashab said to him, itzter daf min ersh tshuvatan. Now we have to first start doing tshuva. The day after Yom Kippur, itzter daf min ersh tshuvatan. Now you have to first start doing tshuva. What's the pshat the day after Yom Kippur to start doing tshuva? So the Rebbe, our Rebbe explained, what's pshat and what the Rebbe Rashab said. He says, the same reason, you ever wonder why we say tachnun after Shmoneh Esrei? Tachnun is doing tshuva. Tachnun ashamna b'ganu. Tachnun is cleaning yourself up after doing averus. Rektzachashali, you would think if you have to stand before a king, when does it make sense to clean yourself up? Before. It would make sense to do tshuva before saying Shmoneh Esrei. Now the emes is, we're going to see Mitzvah Shem in this parak, That's why there were Hasidim that would say Tachnun that's why Hasidim say Tachnun by Krishma Shalamita. That really is where Krishma Shalamita, we do say Tachnun because that's the tshuva and what you did for that day, so you should be clean the next morning. That's why Minigan, at least in Siddur Arizal, we say Hashem Nebagana before going to sleep. And there were also Hasidim, not just Hasidim, there were holy Jews that would wake up and say Tikkun Chatzais for the same reason. But the emes is for most people. I mean, you know, why not say tachlun before Shmoneh Esrei? What's the tachlun right after Shmoneh Esrei? Right after you stand before the king, it's almost the same question. The day after Yom Kippur, right after Shmoneh Esrei is like the day after Yom Kippur. You just stood in front of the king. You said Shmoneh Esrei, which is Baruch Ato. We tend to take Shmoneh Esrei for granted. You know, we say Shmoneh Esrei three times a day. We think it's no big deal. You know, it's always the rule that the things that are the most important and holiest are the ones that are happening all the time. You know that, right? It's a rule that we always forget. What's the holiest yontiv that we have after Yom Kippur? Shabbos. But we think, you know, it's once a week, so we don't make a big deal about it. But it's the holiest yontiv we have. What's the holiest mitzvah we have? No, holier than tefillin. What's the highest mitzvah we have? Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah, can I get cooler? And when is that mitzvah? All the time. It's the things that are the holiest, the deepest that we have all the time. We just take them for granted. But Torah is a higher mitzvah than Lulav and Esrog. You know, we all love taking Lulav and Esrog, right? We pay hundreds of dollars to get a Lulav and Esrog. But because it's once a year, you know, it's a big thing. But Talmud Torah is a much bigger mitzvah. I remember once I was looking, when I was, you know, One of the imprints that Brisk left on me is getting a lulav. Ezra suffered from it a little this year. When it comes to getting a lulav, so it's one of the imprints that Brisk left. I go nuts. It takes me a long time. So I remember when I was in Yerushalayim. So finally, after a couple, 2 or 3 years, I found this guy in Bergman in Ezra's Torah. All the Briskers get the lulav. He has all the good lulav. But it took me a long time to find the lulav. So I remember one time I was going around and I finally got a lulav. I went to some dayan from Rav Vosner's Besdin, and he said to me, "How long are you looking for lulav?" I said, "For, I don't know, 2 days." So he says, "You know the mitzvah Talmud Torah is higher than lulav." And I get him. He's right. I mean, I spent 2 days looking for lulav instead of sitting and learning in yeshiva. Whatever, but that, you know, you can make a pilpul about that. But b'chol ofen, but the things that are most important are all the time, so we take them for granted. So the emes is that the highest thing we have is Shmoneh Esrei. Shmoneh Esrei is a bechina. It's a bechina of ne'ila. You're standing before the king, mamish. So why we would say tachnun after Shmoneh Esrei? Shmoneh Esrei is standing before God and saying Baruch Ata. You're talking to God in the second person. So why would you say tachnun after that? L'chor, you should clean yourself up before that. So the answer is that because it's only after you had that experience of standing before God that we realize how much there is I need to clean up. It's only when I get closer to Hashem do I realize that now, according to that level, I really shouldn't be doing X, Y, and Z. Because when a person, before a person reaches a higher level, I think everything is fine. You know it is. Those the Jews that the less serious people take Yiddishkeit, the more they think they're okay. The more you take Yiddishkeit seriously, the more you realize you need to be more careful. Because the more one gets to a higher level, one realizes that we have to do better. We have to do better. Now that I stood in front of the Eibush and I said Baruch Atah, I realized that there's what to do tshuva for. There's what to do tshuva for. It's only when getting to a higher level do you realize that my, you know, my davening is that I have to do tshuva for the way that I did daven, or I have to do tshuva for things that I thought until now weren't the problem. Right? So that's what the Rebbe Shab said to Friedrich Rebbe. Ister Dafman Ersh Tshuvat. On the day after Yom Kippur, when we reached a high new level, now we went through a whole sukkah, we went through a high new level, now we have to mamash do tshuva. On those things that maybe we thought we didn't have to do tshuva for. Those things that we thought were okay. But now I reached a higher level, I see that they're not okay. So all that is agdama to know that tshuva is something that happens all year. Tshuva is something that happens all the time. And especially what we're going to learn about tshuva ilah, which we already mentioned, but we're going to learn more about tshuva ilah. Tshuva ilah is something that's supposed to be being done all the time. And so it really applies all year. So therefore, it's kedai to finish a geres tshuva. We'll go through it quicker, and I think everyone will get from it. So holding in Perek Zayin. Perek Zayin. We're up to Perek Zayin. I know. I did. Hey, and Vav. They're on Wayu Torah. If you want to hear them, yeah. I did Vav quickly, but we did Vav. Okay, Perek Zayin. V'ulam. Well, I'll speak it out again as we go further. I'll mention what it's in above, but it's all there on Wayu Torah. You can listen to it. V'ulam derech emes vayoshel adbechinas tshuva tata. So until now, until Perek Zayin, what did he explain? In Perek Vav, he explained tshuva tata, the lower level tshuva. Just very quickly to review. In Perek Dalet, the Alter Rebbe, said, "Let me explain to you tshuva tata and tshuva ilah, the lower level tshuva and the higher level tshuva." So in Perek Dalet, what did he say, the Alter Rebbe? Let's just quickly make a chazar. In Perek Dalet, what did he say? In Perek Dalet, the Alter Rebbe spoke about that the neshama is Ein Sof. The neshama is Ein Sof, and Yaakov Chevel Nachlose, that the neshama is connected to Ein Sof, and as opposed to the rest of the creation, which comes from the contracted, that God contracts his light to bring about creation, the neshama is Chelek Eleka. And he puts the neshama into us through the Pnimius Adibur. Just like when speaking, there's the breath within the speech. So the rest of the world are the actual words of God. The Nesham is Ein Sof that comes through the breath of Hashem in the speech. That breath, that Hevel Elyon, is what connects that Neshama into our body. Right? Then the Alter Rebbe says in Parakeh, and therefore we know that nothing could lechar, nothing could be chaitzetz, there can't be a chatzitz between us and Hashem. There can't be something that stops between us and Hashem. It can't be chatzitza. Like you're in the mikveh, you're completely surrounded by the water. We're within our Ein Sof. We're within the Eibishter. Right? So, but he says, but there is one thing that could be chatzitza. He gives a mashal. When you put your hand in front of your mouth, so you could still hear me talking, but you won't be able to feel my breath. Right? So there's something that could be chatzitza, that Hashem is still talking, which is the world. The world is God's speech. But the neshama, there could be a chatzitza between your neshama and Hashem. And what's the chatzitza? L'char, what could be a chatzitza between Hashem? We spoke, remember he brought five different psukim, as Shemayim Vesarat Zani Mole, God fills heaven and earth, he's Mamali Kolam, and a Seiv of Kolam, and Laisis upon him, and in no place is void of, everything was in him. So have an Eseichem Avdilim, an Aveir is a chatzitza. Remember we spoke about the Lomdis, that the Lomdis of a chatzitza is that a person is still in the mikvah, and you're completely surrounded by water. It's not pshat that there's no Maisa Tvila, you're in the mikvah. But there's a chatzitza. The chatzitza makes that there, even though you're in the mikvah, it doesn't count as a tefillah. So an avera makes a chatzitza. An avera stops between you and HaKadosh Baruch. So then the question is, if there's an avera that's a chatzitza that doesn't allow the breath to go through, how do you continue living? And that was the question, if you remember, he asked in Perek Dalet, how do people continue living? That's what Karis is, Misa B'day Shemaim, that people would actually die because their soul would get cut off from Hashem. That life support system would be cut off. But how is it possible that today people continue living for so long? So what was the answer? No, who remembers from Perek Vav? Huh? Oh, so the answer was that during the Beis HaMikdash, where our vitality was straight getting pumped from Hashem, when the life force within us was strict, could only be godliness. In the time of the Beis Hamikdash, the life force of a Jew that's being pumped into you could only be God's light. So if a person did an Avera, you blew that, you cut off the life support system, a person would die. But today there's another way of getting life. There's another way of getting life. What's that? Through the side of impurity, through the klipas. And he spoke about in Perek Vav, we gave the whole mashal, if you remember, that in a huge building, we gave that big mashal, a huge skyscraper of 100 floors. So think about how many different pipes, Gesundheit, how many different pipes are there going from the ground, the pipe under the street, and the skyscraper of Manhattan, 100 flights with, you know, 30, 40 rooms in each floor. How many pipes are there from the main, going from up to the top? There are a lot of pipes going, taking the water from the street of Manhattan all the way to the 100th floor, all the different faucets and stuff. But then there's, what? What do you mean from up to down?
Meaning the water doesn't come from the street, come from the tank.
You mean the water goes straight all the way to the top and then it goes down? Okay, so it's even better. So you have the pipes going from, that.
If you want to save money on your water.
Then you go to, please speak to David Schwartz if you want to save money, right. But then, other than that, there are other pipes. And those are the pipes that are going from the toilet bowls down. So if you can imagine, there are all sorts of pipes going through the building. There's the pipes that are taking from the toilet bowl, and there are pipes that are taking from the clean tank on top, that's the drinking water. So one has a choice if once, imagine you could drink from either of those pipes. So what happens is that Hashem pumps His light into the world, but in order for there to be the world, in order to exist, there has to be an equilibrium of good and bad. Until Mashiach comes, there has to be evil people. Like the people that sit in the United Nations, they have to get their vitality also. So Hashem makes klipas, which means Hashem puts His light into dirty sewage pipes. And there's a lot of vitality there. There's a lot of, you know, glitz and glamour, like Rav Nachman says in the first piece in the Kutta Maran, a lot of chayn. The chayn is in Golas, right? They seem very choshu. But that light is going through sewage, you know, disgusting, filthy water pipes. And a Jew, bizman hazeh, when there's no Beis HaMikdash, a Jew is able to get his light of Elokus from the Klipas, from the Elokus, from the light of God that became enclosed in the side of impurity. And that's where he could get his Chayas from. That's what an Avera means. An Avera means at that time you're getting your life support system, not from Ein Sof directly, but instead you're getting the light that you're breathing, the vitality that you're having is through the side of impurity, through all those Klipas and stuff like that. And the Alter Rebbe said, he brings from the Zohar Pekuda that you're a Baal Bechira every moment. Where am I getting my vitality pumped into me? Is my vitality coming from Ein Sof, Mamish the Eberster himself, the Or Pnei Melechaim, from God himself? Or this minute that a person is doing an Avera, and until he does tshuva, your neshama goes down to the side of Klipas, and the vitality that's getting pumped into you is through those dirty sewage pipes, through which the vitality is also being given to all the things that are impure. And that's what a person gets his vitality from. And not only that, to make matters even more delightful, not only do I get my vitality through the klipas if I do an Avera, but I bring God also into there. Because since there's a lukus within me, I'm also taking Hashem's light with me into Golos. And that's what he said, the very end of Perek Vav, he says, the Shechina also, Veshov, Heshev Lenemekim Veshov, right? It doesn't, Hashem has to return from Golos, because the Shechina, when I go to do an Avera, I'm taking God with me into those impure pipes. So therefore, that's the descent into the realm of impurity and sin through an Avera. Martzitagid, Rabbi David.
No.
Okay, so therefore, so that's the necessity then that what happened, that's what we left off in Perek Vav. So what happens when, why is a person able to live after doing an Avera? Because you're getting a life support system from the filth and the impurity. Yeah.
What's the default? A person's doing nothing. Suppose it's not the Kutari. The default is that you're getting from Kutz Nega, or are you getting from his theism?
There's no such thing as a Jew doing nothing. That's what he said in Perek Zayin of Tanya. If a person is doing something L'Shem Shemayim, then it's Kedusha. If a person's not doing L'Shem Shemayim, then he's getting from the side of Klipa. Obviously, with the different levels that we spoke about in Perek Vav, the different levels of Klipas, of what he's doing, which if it's Machshav, if it's Maisa, the different levels of how impure, I guess in the sewage system, there's a difference between the water that comes, you know, that you brush your teeth to, and then something that comes from the toilet bowl. There are differences. So the differences of how filthy the tomb is going to be, how much a person connects oneself to. But the pshat is that a person, you mamash, that's, you know, the Gemara and Soita, you all remember, by Eshes Petifa with Yosef. So it says, the Gemara says over there in Soita that that Lishkav Ima Liyos Etzla. The Gemara says that to be with her. So the Gemara says not just here, but in Olam Haba also. So the Gemara says when a person does an Avera, Malafaftoi. It connects itself to a person. It's not just the person does a sin and then that's it. The soul mamash becomes connected and goes down to that level of impurity and then is getting its vitality pumped through that level of impurity. That's the breath that one's breathing, that the life that one's living is mamash tum, is impurity, is that mud and that fecal, disgusting vitality. And that will be until a person does tshuva. That's his soul goes to the side of evil. Clear? And then until you finish off Perek Vav, and then what's tshuva tata? Tshuva tata is to take yourself out of, let's just look at the four lines from the bottom of Perek Vav, five lines from the bottom. Uksha adam oisa tshuva, the bottom of Perek Vav, five lines before the end of Perek Vav. Uksha adam oisa tshuva, nechayna, person does tshuva, azay mesalik mehem hashpa. You take out of the side of klipa the hashpa, shehim shech b'maisav machshavayis, that you drill down into the side of klipa through one's maisav and machshavas. Ki b'tshuva say, when a person does tshuva tata, machzir hashpas hashchina lemekoyma. You take out the Shekhinah from that side of impurity, from having pumping light into that side of evil, which God hates, and you take it out of there. Huh? I can't hear you.
Is it possible to do tshuva lo nechama?
Yeah, of course. A person do tshuva. It won't be enough. It won't be enough to take the Shekhinah out of its place. That's why we're going to speak about this more in Perek Zayin, when he speaks about exactly how to do tshuva in Perek Zayin. But until now, he's speaking about what tshuva is. How to do tshuva starts from Perek Zayin. But that's why, I don't know if you remember, Ben, there's a very scary thing that's actually we say during Slichas. I believe it was the first Slichas, or maybe it was Erev Rosh Hashanah. But there's a lashon there, is who does tshuva right? And mishav kekelev. There are words there, who does tshuva like a dog? Mishav kekelev. There's a lashon there that we say, who does tshuva like a dog? Why like a dog? Because a dog is chayzer lekiyah, a dog will throw something up and then go back and, you know, so that means a person could vomit and then go back and yeah. So that could be a person that doesn't do tshuva nechayna. So in Perek Zayin, he's going to actually, until now in Perek Dalet Heivav, he just explained, Perek Dalet was explaining what the neshama is, how it connects to Hashem. Perek Hei was what happens when a person sins, and that it gets cut off, what a sin is. And Perek Zayin is how the neshama gets, how that therefore he goes into the side of impurity through the sin. And now he's going to explain that a person does tshuva nechayne, yimachzer shpas hashchina l'mekayma, v'zeu toshev hei, hei tata. Remember we said tshuva, the word tshuva is toshev hei tata, to let the lower hei go back. What's the lower hei? The lower hei we spoke about is the shechina, is the contracted light of God that goes into galos, mebchinas galos. U'kmei shekosov, v'shov Hashem lekecha shvuscha. The pasuk says, "V'shav Hashem lekecha es shvuscha." What does es shvuscha mean? Kolaymer im shvuscha, with your shvuscha. K'maymer azal, like Chazal say, "V'heishav le'nemar kim v'shav." We say that. You ever notice we say that in the Zmiris, by the way, in the Bevayim Edoim. You ever notice that we say that in Bevayim Edoim? You know that? No. In Bevayim Edoim, so you sing it by Shal Shudas. Kedai to know what the words say. There's the words the Bevayim Edoim. So the words are. Chometz Begadim, yes. So over there, the words are, it's not here in the Siddur, Bevayim Edom. This is Ashkenaz. Well, they don't say it, the Misnagdim. Wait, anyone have a Nusach Sfarad Siddur? You know, a Nusach Sfarad Siddur? Bevayim Edom?
What's it?
It's Kedai to point out, because if we're learning it already.
What does it mean, Shalom?
I'm going to tell you in a second. Huh? I'm going to tell you in a second. Anyone have a Nusach Sfarad Siddur? Shabbos day, Baruch Hashem Yom Yom. Oh, there it is. Yeah. Okay. So we say over here. Yitzavetzur Chazdoi. Kilos of the Kabates, right? Remember that? Yitzav Tzur Chazdei Hashem, the Tzur will give over his chesed. Everyone with me? The words we're saying in Bevayim Edoim. Yitzav Tzur Chazdei, kilos of the Kabates. Hashem should give over his chesed, and what is kilos of your Kabates? he should gather his kehilos. Me'arba ruchos odav le'ikavets. From the four corners, be mekabets them to him. Right? Everyone with me? U'bahar merim horim, oisanu laharbets. U'bahar merim horim, the mountain which is the highest of all mountains, meaning Yerushalayim. Oisanu laharbets, he should put us there that we should live there. V'itonu yoshuv, nidochem kovets, and with us, he will return. Yoshuv nidochem kovets, he will return the nidochem, those that are dispersed, he will kovets. Yoshuv le'nemar, kim v'shov v'kibetz. Remember those words? Yoshuv le'nemar, kim v'shov v'kibetz. What does that mean? Yoshuv le'nemar, kim v'shov v'kibetz. It's referring to this drush that the Alter Rebbe is speaking about. What does it mean? It's a pasuk in Nitzavim. Look inside Tanya. It says, "Kumash Kaz." What does the pasuk say? "Veshav Hashem alakecha eshvuscha." V'richamecha. So the Chazal say, "What does it mean?" "Veshav Hashem alakecha eshvuscha." The Chazal say, "Im shvuscha," meaning that when Hashem will return the exile, what? He will return with them. That the Shechin is also in Golus. "Veshav Hashem alakecha." In other words, "Veshav Hashem alakecha" doesn't just mean that God will return the exiles. V'shav Hashem alikecha, that Hashem Himself will return eshvuscha with shvuscha, and that's what Chazal say. K'may Marazali, heishav. It doesn't say v'heishav Hashem alikecha shvuscha. If it would just mean that God is returning the exiles, what should it mean? V'heishav Hashem alikecha shvuscha, right? What is v'shav? He will return. So that's what we say in Baruch in the Mevayim Adam. That's what the word say. Yoshiv le'nemar. It doesn't say yoshiv ki im. V'shav v'kibetz, that Hashem will return them. Yeah? So that's what you should have in mind when you say B'shal Shudas, Yoshev le'nemar kim v'shav. Not just that Hashem will return those, He Himself will return. So that's what Alter Rebbe is saying. That's what happens when a person does tshuva tata, that Hashem Himself returns. Now, so let's get clear. I want to make sure everyone gets this. So what is tshuva tata? Tshuva tata is that your neshama goes from the getting from the disgusting pipes, the getting the side of klipa. Your neshama goes from getting that, instead of getting your vitality from there, rather getting your vitality that the should be coming straight from the breath of Hashem, again from Ein Sof. Right? That's good. So again, you're getting your vitality, you're taking your neshama and the shechina out of golus, out of the klipas, out of the sewage pipes, and once again, getting the breath from Hashem. Could anyone just remind me, what's tshuva ilo, which we're going to get to in Perek Ches? That's tshuva tata. To once again be getting the vitality from Ein Sof, getting the breath straight from Hashem. That's tshuva tata. What's tshuva ilah?
Unified with Hashem.
Tshuva ilah is that your soul goes back to Ein Sof before He blew the soul into you. That's tshuva ilah. Tshuva ilah is not that He's breathing your soul into you again, you're getting your vitality straight from Ein Sof, but rather that your neshama goes back into Hashem, mamash, back into Ein Sof before He breathed the breath into you. That's going to be tshuva ilah. But tshuva tata is once again getting your breath straight from the pipe of Hashem. That's what tshuva tata is. And in Perek Zayin, he's now going to say, how do you do tshuva tata? Let's just read the first line. I'll take, now he's going to say how to do tshuva tata. Yeah, Tzvi. Blew your soul into you. That while alive, your soul will reach that unification with God, with Ein Sof, like before He blew His soul into you.
So your breath is still inside Hashem.
Yeah. But while you're alive.
Not the guf, you're the actual breath.
Your neshama that's in your guf will be one with Hashem like before He blew the breath into you. The ray of the sun in the sun, exactly. That you come to a place where you have that dveikus of the neshama in Hashem, like the ray of the sun in the sun. Which is why tshuva and yichud ilah and kriyashma are the same thing. Kriyashma is yichud ilah, is tshuva ilah. That's the Alter Rebbe uses the lashon, that saying kriyashma is tshuva ilah. As we're going to see, Mitzvah Shem, we're going to see that together. Okay? What time do we stop? Now? 7:30 is Shachris? Oyvei. So he's going to say, how do you do tshuva tata? He says, "Ulam derech emes vayashal tshuva tata heim beis dvarim derech klal." There are two things you need to do to be able to do this tshuva tata. Wow, we just started. We have to stop already. Right. What?
Backwards.
Oh, yeah.
The difference is not the pipe.
When? In Tshuva Tata?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Because if the breath of a Kodesh Baruch Hu is a Kodesh Baruch Hu,
number sure.
So really the two of them should be the same.
I never have a number. I go
no, but the breath is the contracted light of Kodesh Baruch Hu, the breath.
It's still his.
But it's a contracted light of his.
As opposed to his essence.
His essence, yeah. Like the world, like we spoke about. I mean, don't forget. It's in Tsunim.
I thought it was like there was something in between.
The breath is the in-between, but it's still not his Ein Sof. It's still that. It's still what allows the piece of him to become the neshama. Yeah. You had a question, Yishai? Who else had a question?
Yeah. How is that possible to do the Jewish law while the person is still alive?
We'll learn. We're going to speak about a mitzvah sham. We'll speak about a mitzvah. How to do bittul mitzvahs when he's still alive?
Right.
Obviously, a different level of what a tzaddik is and how we could do bittul mitzvahs, but there's such thing as living with Yichudi law.
This idea doesn't make sense in logic because it's before.
Why does logic? You know, who says this about logic? Since when is see this about logic?
Yishai, this is imagination, which is not a myth.
Don't forget, Chassidim, there's a reason Chassidim said L'chaim.
What's that?
There's a reason that Chassidim said L'chaim. Logic
but is not...
But
is that actually possible?
What?
To achieve that?
Again, we're going to speak about it. Tzaddik feels it. We don't necessarily feel it. We could live with it. We could live with that meditation. We could live with that emes.
But you can never get to that place.
I don't. What does it mean to get to that place? We are that place.
Listen, if it's
the place before?
We
before
are that place, essentially. When Hashem, if you look through Hashem's eyes, mitzad, what's called Das Elyon in Chassidus. Chassidus speaks about once in a while looking the way Hashem sees things. The way Hashem sees things, we are in that place. We are with the Ein Sof. Tshuva Tata is that your eyes should be aligned with God's eyes. That's what Tshuva Ila is. That you should have the awareness that God has. That's the emes. The emes you are within Hashem. Tshuva Ila is to meditate and then to live with it. That's what Kriya Shema is. Why do I remember?